What does it mean to be a disciple? Hi, I'm Jordan Sullivan, the minister of music here at Fraser Church in Montgomery, Alabama, and we're in a series looking at how we can be committed disciples of Jesus Christ by following His Great Commission together as a church family. Our prayer is that in this season you will find greater communion with God, greater community with your fellow disciples, and greater commitment to Jesus' Great Commission. Thanks for joining us.
Welcome to day 47 of A Disciple of Christ, a season of commitment. Today's devotion is titled, The Spirit Life. Frederick Louis Godet and C.A. Fox once wrote, Romans 8 begins with no condemnation and ends with no separation, while in between there is no defeat. Our text for today is Romans 8, verses 1 through 11. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Many Christians regard Romans chapter 8 as the greatest chapter in the whole Bible. In fact, if you read commentaries on Romans, chapter 8 is described as the mountain peak of Scripture and the chapter of chapters for the Christian believer. Many commentators quote a German author by the name of Spener, who many years ago said, "If Holy Scripture was a ring, and the Epistle to the Romans a precious stone, chapter 8 would be the sparkling point of the jewel." Paul begins this great chapter with these significant words, "There is therefore now." Leon Morris explains, "It is possible to take therefore to refer to the immediately preceding words, but most agree that this is not the primary context. It is much more likely that Paul is referring to the whole of the preceding argument. He has taken several chapters to bring out the way God saves us in Christ. And in the light of the whole of that massive argument, he can say, there is now no condemnation. His now is surely temporal. Now, in contrast to times gone by before we had entered into the justification Christ brought. It may also be in contrast to the time to come. Paul may be hinting that though we do not as yet experience all the fullness of what salvation in Christ means, we do enjoy all that no condemnation means. Now, believers have a wonderful gift of salvation from God in Christ. Condemnation is a term that here includes both the sentence and the execution of the sentence. But for believers, there is no condemnation at all. Paul follows this incredible truth by stating, "For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death." What does Paul mean by the law of the Spirit of life? Again, Morris clarifies by writing, "The law of the Spirit of life is an unusual expression." We have seen that sometimes Paul uses the term law in the sense of principle, though usually with the added idea that there is some element of coercion. Thus, the law of sin is the rule that governed his conduct, and it made him a prisoner, according to Romans 7:23. The law here, then, is the principle on which the Holy Spirit works, a principle that operates in power. Spirit here is surely the Holy Spirit, who is characterized as the Spirit of life, that is, the life-giving Spirit. The presence of the Spirit is the distinguishing mark of the Christian, and this presence means the defeat of the power of sin. Paul says that when the Holy Spirit comes into a person, that person is liberated from bondage to evil and finds a new power within, a power that defeats sin and leads the liberated person into the ways of goodness and love. One scholar described it as, "Moses' law has right, but not might. Sin's law has might, but not right. The law of the Spirit has both right and might." Timothy Keller shares why this law of the Spirit of life is so beneficial to every believer. Why did God send His Son to bear our condemnation and send His Spirit to break our bondage? Verse 4 tells us that everything Christ did for us, His incarnation, His death, and His resurrection, was all for the purpose that we might live a holy life. This is an amazing point. The thing Jesus lives for, the purpose of His entire life, is to make us holy, fulfilling the righteous requirements of the law. This is the greatest possible motive for living a holy life. Whenever we sin, we endeavor to frustrate the aim and purpose of the entire life, death, and ministry of Jesus Christ. If this doesn't work as an incentive for living a holy life, nothing will. In the rest of this section of Scripture, Paul focuses on another great benefit of being a Christian. God has the power to overcome sin in our lives. Paul teaches us that we have no hope for our salvation in and of ourselves. In addition, he describes how we have no hope for obedience without Christ. For any real change to take place in our lives, we cannot rely on our own efforts. We must depend entirely on the work of the Spirit to live the Spirit life. Some questions to consider. Do you ever feel under condemnation? What causes you to feel this way? How will you make sure that you remember from verse 1 that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus? How can knowing that Jesus's ministry was for the purpose of making you holy motivate your life in the Spirit? And finally, how can your dependence on the Holy Spirit to live the Spirit life continually lead to a deeper trust and closer intimacy with Him? Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.